So I guess since Joan revealed that we're going to be moving to Manhattan for much of the time, although I am keeping my advertising business in Pittsburgh, so I'll be back here quite a bit. But I did want to say that I've been part of the poetry community in Pittsburgh now for some 28 years, and it's been a lot of fun. And I appreciate the efforts of all of you here and your support. So let's start with some new poems, and then I'll read some from Music from Words, which is available, $10, right over there. Okay, let's start about a poem about the Mousterian culture. I think I will stand. In a dance of death, they stabbed their prey. We harpooned ours from far away. Their pelvis could not take the shock ours could, and made them run much slowly through the woods for shorter lengths of time. And they couldn't speak or hear the differences in simple sounds like sit and sear. Or perhaps their ears were too attuned to the constant humming of the earth as it hurtles into space around the sun, and the sorrowful groaning of shifting plates made them too crazy to mate. Next poem, fairly new, is called Cubist Jealousy. Cubist Jealousy. Her thighs unfold to solid rays of space that splay along a sofa climbing wall, revealing dark triangulation as a thing apart, a thing that breathes flirtatious glints, corrugated flesh and orange sit in slouch. He takes her hand in front of every one. His back is turning from my right to care, this jealous sponge that holds the flocks, this sobbing sponge that drinks the red I toss in shadows, squaring other shadows, squaring splintered memory. The day she threw that jealous fit in open window, windy winter, blues and grays, her oval breasts were on the floor against a Persian rug, attached by springs to shuttered nakedness. Now another new poem called Cubist Compassion. Cubist Compassion. Inside the planet's cry, each sphere is thinking only of itself, of pain its colors feel in breaking up to stony masquerades that fold to fans of purple shattered into shivered emptiness, emerging from the crumpled red as bolts of cloth that hang from parts of her that haven't disappeared, those watery prisms that heal through touch and silence, those severed hands that comfort breasts, excuse me, those severed hands that comfort beasts and humans, that comfort me without abstraction. Her smooth, unblistered fingers snuff my raging fire, ascend inverted skies toward shredded halos falling. I watch my liberated fear and torment sink and drown in loving parts of 13 of her many faces. Each face has 13 facets, each a soothing rhomboid, growing slowly, weighted with the fall of sparrows. The next poem is called In Recovery, and it's going to be in the next issue of Vallum, which should be on the bookshelves in a month or so. In Recovery. Buddha surely felt this thirst for self-annihilation, end of pain, end of twitching memories, shaking, shaking, shaking. Shameful when I said those words. Shameful when I wrecked the car, came late, left early, shrank in corners, missed it, dropped it, didn't answer, stared at screen, click and click, drag and paste, delete, delete, paced the porch, bathed in street lamp, child slap, delete, slap child, delete. Those said and never said, those faller, falling, fallen, did they, do they, will they, know, care, grieve, forgive? Christ must have seen a loathing glass to hang and bleed, deny the beast and hate himself, myself, despise my empty yearn, to fill desire before hallucination. Delete, 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 delete. Okay. The next poem's a little long, and it's told from two points of view. One is kind of your general third-person omniscient, and the other is the first person of a ne'er-do-well who's come home to care for his dying father. The poem is called The Wrestler, and a couple of years ago it appeared in Ellipsis. The Wrestler. His wrestler's arms elevate his dying father from the bath, towel the anorexic wheezing flesh. His wrestler's fingers ram at buttons, swelling narrow holes of flimsy night clothes, like punching bolts through steel. One shot, one shot, one shot, and then you're done. And then your pill for pain, and then your noisy sleep, snores and disconnected words, slingshot carping of what I have and have not done. In one of many rooms of father's empty house, his wrestler's legs incline and hands release, and slowly father rotates off his wrestler's frame onto bed and wakes, mutters, lost championship, then falls asleep again. Why high school wrestling 30 years ago? So much has happened. I wrestled the ladders I climbed, wrestled the metal I welded, wrestled the bread I baked, all a giant, wingless, loving, hating angel I could never conquer, so I held on, and holding on, I could never lose. And the angel, father, was you. Fatal cradle quivers porridge steam. Father hisses, cold, I'm cold. His wrestler's hands corkscrew clumps of flesh through a second set of sleeves, then spreads the leaking body out again. You myth yourself as Krishna, teaching ways of works for men of action. To me, Arjuna, your perfect incarnation, slaying Bhisma, Karna, armies of Kurus. On my own, I found performance with no thought of prize. Control, 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 relinquish. Enter other sons, boxer, goalie, fullback, and smoke cigars outside the room. Last vacation, renovation, new investment. Exhale the fumes beyond the fan. Remember father's backdoor laughing smokes. Elaborate athlete handshakes to the wrestler. Younger brother, you the man, you the best, to volunteer for nursemaid work. A big forgiving man after years of silent rift. Great warriors always winning. My deeds could never match. Often thinking, never saying, I look like you, but I'm not you. You said talent isn't everything. You called it my pattern. Wrestle and relinquish, quit school. Wrestle and relinquish, quit the rigs. Wrestle and relinquish, quit the marriage. Quit and drift, quit and start. Quit and switch. Quit before the winning. Wrestle and relinquish. Alone in stale tobacco lamp glow, painful diapasons pierce the wrestler's thoughts that coast to feeble huffing, once a shout, meager bone, once buck-ram strapping, restless drift, once righteous resolution. Sleeping father, dying father, mythless thing itself, here is act itself. Circle, take down, near fall, defensive escape, defensive reversal. I'm up 8-0. Another takedown. You're yelling, pin, pin, pin. Reverse takedown, near fall, control. You're waving rolled up program. 11-0, be careful now. 15 points, an automatic win. Control, control, control. He escapes, I reverse again. 14-2, circle, play out clock. Seconds left, 12-10. You're shaking someone next to you. That's my son, that's my son. 5 seconds, I'm winning 18-4. Everyone knows who's best. Everyone knows. Circle front of you. Now I make my perfect move. Collapse the knee. Roll to right. Pull him over. Careful. Let them think it's him. Heave my shoulders back and down. Control. Relinquish. Touch the mat. I'm pinned. I win. Now I'm going to switch to a couple of poems from the book and then finish up with a new one. First, let's read a poem called Afternoon on the Island, and it's based upon that painting called Afternoon on the Island by Georges Seurat. That's the first pointillist painting. That's, you know, where everything is just a bunch of little dots, and it looks like dots, and you look back, and it looks like something. So this poem begins inside that painting, and it's called Afternoon on the Island. In a distance, I see her, past families with dogs, couples under trees, beyond a trumpet player, last days of rain, among shadows with concrete hardness, in an instant of harmonious motion. I see her, and the scene parses into stillness of one part, of one part, of one part of a moment when objects transform to trembling specks of color, as when someone's talking through the night, and through persistent tiredness you hear hypnotic human drone, your vision fractured into bits of unrelated matter. I see her behind the patchwork yellow, patchwork green, patchwork walkers, idlers, runners, butterfly, in a hard bustle dress, fitted bodice. I see her colors swimming into orange, peak hydrangea oval, brimming hat, looking at the rowers in the river, then turning towards me, smiling, a woman I could love or think of loving, the thought like swarms of little dots of color, holding phrases, holding words, holding phonemes, holding elemental sounds, confused and orderly, soothing, disconcerting, wholes and parts, ordained and accidental, as love is always, a new way of seeing, a new way of not seeing. So I think most of us have been to staff meetings, and so your eyes start to glaze, and pretty soon you're in some kind of dream world, and what would the minutes of that be? Well, here they are, staff meeting minutes, staff meeting minutes, conference room, blah, blah, blanket walls dissolve and flow, a plunge in frigid water, blah, blah, beat of branches warms your tingling frozen flesh, incorporated world between two walls of ice, ha, ha, horses' heads on shivering human bodies, da, da, disco rats merengue up the glacial switchback, seeking middens of your la, la, life to come, discarded menus, transparent inhibitions, a new caprice in permafrost, moats become beans, moats become beams, rice becomes worms, wine becomes blood, caw, caw, close your eyes. The paper angel wrestling you is only you, the times you win. Another Esker fantasy, a higher I don't wanna, wah, wah, wanna be, until you reach that place that makes you smile. Walls become windows, glossy panes in Ba Ba Bay. The other side is summer, bathing ladies on parade, like naked women always, beautiful and full of love. Okay, two more. One is kind of experimental. It's always fascinated me that the lodgepole pine has both male sexual parts and female sexual parts, and yet it needs other lodgepole pines to reproduce. So that's interesting. So I thought I'd write a poem from the point of view of a lodgepole pine. This is the lodgepole pine's song of self. And since I've learned all this in Squaw Valley, I call the poem Squaw Valley Lodgepole Pine. Above a pluck line blue, I am pine, am male, am female. Dangle, brown nub, male waft pollen, female open gnome cone cluster. Lodgepole blown, upward dust, thermal roam. Lodgepole to nowness, pine cone spread seek. Captured isness under edge point, slice home branch root indwell. Sape from squirrel gnaw through pine love frenzy nowness. Shelter union lodgepole dropping dirtwood open, subsisting dome in slot spike swarm, mold nameless veil now fungus barb, needle couple lichen harbor, pine thirst after lone terrain, water measure titrate nowness union isness, pine home living male am female I am. Thank you. I'm going to close with another recent poem. It's called Impermanence, which is a Buddhist concept that all existence, without exception, is in a constant state of flux. Some may note that there are a couple of references to scenes from the life of Buddha in the poem, and watch out for that trick ending. Impermanence. The eye of me, enduring eye that no one sees, behind the Facebook pose, advanced degree, the screaming eye, assaulting silent ear, the silent eye behind the thirsty tear, the part of eye that words can't mold, that residue of eye that won't be sold. This eye would never leave his sleeping mate, her naked breasts and fall to tender flow, areolas rising, sprawling. This eye would wait till after one more touch and finally could not go. This eye will always dodge the falling boulder, charging elephant. This eye insists on growing older, growing dim, taking on the eye of every sign, transforming them to other eye, this anodyne to I'm not there, this eye that doesn't veer, but moves through inner space to outer fear, this eye will persevere, this eye will purse, this eye will puh, this eye wuh, this eye the. Thank you.